Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Evening, everyone. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live and direct for the next hour here to take your sports thoughts and feelings and ramblings. Call up 715-424-2600. Get in the game. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Want to send a gigantic shout-out to our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids, sponsoring the hour. Big thank you to them. Buy local, support those that support us.
Yes.
Seth, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Rambling. That's what I was like, your ramblings. You say, we like rambling around here.
I have to do that. It's one of those copyright, it's something in the contract and everything, because I ramble.
Right.
So it's really not about the listeners as much as me. We got some fun stuff to get into today. Of course, we're going to talk Olympics. We got to talk some baseball as well, not only Rafters, but Brewers and just MLB. I've got a couple of interesting stats of the show for us as well.
Ooh, nice.
And before we wrap up today, we're not only going to talk Olympics, but we're going to talk about, the greatest Olympian of all time, and Jesse Owens. All of that coming up, but first, let's take some calls. Good afternoon, you're in the game.
James, it's good to see that you haven't jumped off that building yet.
Oh, yeah. It's tough. And I'm guessing you're talking about the Southsiders. Well, you got to narrow it down. Not at this point in the year, though. Well, there's an advantage, at least.
Yeah,
that,
true.
You know, this time of year, he could only mean one team, really.
That's right.
That's easier. And give it a month, give it a couple of weeks, and
yeah, we'll see what happens for that.
A wide variety of things that have me on the edge of the ledge. So at this point, Jerry Reinsdorf has done something to this certain fan base. And I don't just mean White Sox, but Chicago Bulls fans, where we have gotten numb to a lot of these things. I was here as a Bear fan, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got a little bit of hope here and there, and we'll see where that ends me up, you know, what that gets me.
Yeah, we'll see.
But where most fans are right there now are just kind of like not blind to it, but numb to it. Mm-hmm. So, I could talk White Sox all day with you guys, and it doesn't affect me that much. I say that. Now, ask me at 3 in the morning. Now, you know, ask me when I'm watching a game.
Well, your soul is being crushed, right? Yeah.
Right. If we're in the middle of watching a White Sox game, I don't care if it's game 82 or whatever, in a lost season, I still care. I still want to see that team
win. You do, yeah.
So it's a little bit different then. Right now, sure. Well, they're horrible. The only thing that you can do as a fan right now is try to grab some kind of silver lining. Mm-hmm. And in baseball, it's really tough to do that.
Yeah.
Look at the conversation we were having a couple of weeks ago about how many of these teams truly get better after doing this, after trading away all their talent and not trying to grow the talent from within. NFL teams don't, most teams don't do this. Like, tanking is very different in baseball than it is in any other sport.
It's true.
In baseball, it's like, get rid of all the talent. In football, it's, well, we still have to be able to, you know, create a winning culture.
Right.
And we can't get rid of all the talent because, well, then what good does it do to bring in our number one pick and he has no talent around him and all that? They've almost learned from how not to tank in that sport. And basketball is an outlier. It's a weird one.
Well, and there's the big difference between having 17 games a year and 162 games a year. That's a big difference. You can hide it for the long season. You cannot hide it in the NFL season. You can't do that.
But there's got to be better things to talk about than that.
Yeah, true.
There are radio stations in South Chicago right now that are talking about the Sox. So, yeah. I mean, we don't have to talk about it. But if there is anything you did want to touch on there, Kev, I'm always interested to hear what you got to say.
Well, yeah, like I said, I was kind of glad that you're still there with us and you're not it's just kind of like the same thing with the Brewers. I mean, am I ever going to see a World Series for the Brewers in my lifetime? Mm-hmm. I have at least 40 more years. I really don't think so.
Wow.
So, the way the things are, the way that they don't want to spend money and things like that. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever see it. I mean, let's hope they can prove it wrong, but
you are not alone in this. I've been doing a survey. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Kevin. I'm sorry. I've been doing my own kind of survey with the Brewer fans I know in my life and some other people I talk to, listener-wise and everything. And I've only had one person out of maybe 12, we'll say, tell me. And that's a very small sample size, granted. But I've heard other talking people in the state talking sports, mentioning similar things. And I hear it in your voice, Kev, that you want to believe that they will, but it's not there. And that... honestly, man, that breaks my sports heart. Like, I didn't even hear that in Cub fans when I was growing up. I grew up around nothing but Cub fans, and not a single one of them I don't ever remember saying that in their lifetime they wouldn't see it happen. Now, my papa thought he'd be in his hundreds, so he actually got ahead of that.
He got a little bit ahead of it.
A little ahead of it, but genuinely, they still felt that. Mm-hmm. It's not like when I first heard people mentioning this, it was before the trade deadline was done. And I felt, well, that sucks. That fan base doesn't deserve that and everything. I know this fan base very well. It's a great there are at least 20 major league teams that would kill for the Brewers fan base. Mm-hmm. At least 20 that would. It's a great fan base, a diehard one. To think that they feel that way really bothered me, but I looked at it as, oh, they're beaten down, or they've gotten close and not made it, or something. Then I start asking questions, follow-up questions, and it's all about management. It's all about the way that the franchise is run. And then it becomes, well, wait a minute. Is this a situation where they can win a World Series? Are they automatically starting behind the eight ball on this? And where it's not they were never written in to be able to get a chance. For every Arizona, for every time a team that comes out of nowhere is able to do it, it's just an outlier. It's not actually baseball. This isn't the way that the higher-ups want this to be. That I hadn't thought of before. I feel naive saying that, but I hadn't really thought of it that way. I just felt, well, I've been seeing the Oakland A's compete for almost right. 2 decades with their management trying to, sell them to anybody that'll buy them. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they aren't the Albuquerque Athletics by now. I take those things, but every team has to be looked at differently. Every market has to be looked at differently. And to think a Brewer fan thinks, I don't have a chance, not because of the players, not because of managers, not because of even other teams, but my own team is shooting itself in the foot and not even giving us a chance. That's heartbreaking to me.
And without them making that splash yet, and I know they didn't want to break up the farm system too much, but, you want to kind of look back and what would have been different if Yelich went to one on the DL?
Right. Yeah. Right.
They would have opened up a little bit more to maybe the Garrett Mitchell or maybe Frelick. Those guys would have probably maybe been put on the trading block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If Yelich would have stayed healthy at the time, So, but we know kind of right now we need him in playing. So, mm-hmm. I think the Yelich injury or him going on the DL kind of at the wrong time kind of played into why we didn't make that splash. Why didn't we go after one more maybe starting pitcher, and see where we go from there. But, as much as I love talking baseball, after watching Saturday's, I recorded it, fast-forwarded through all the commercials, watching the Packers family night and seeing how fast that defense is,
mm-hmm.
seeing how more accurate Love has been this year on some of those passes to Wicks and trying to fit it in there a little bit to Watson. I mean, that was kind of a scary play, but just as fast as they're playing right now, I think the North is going to be in trouble.
Oh, I agree. I think it's just a two horse race between Detroit and Green Bay, and who can get there first, who can stay healthy long enough.
That's always
And how exciting is that? Just cool that we're not only that it's not just one team that is going to be leading the way, but that we have a race and the teams that it is. Mm-hmm. The Green Bay storyline is very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And Detroit ain't going to get old. Detroit could pull off a New England type run, and I still wouldn't be tired of Detroit.
Well, it's because of all the drought years for Detroit. You got to give them, the fans a little bit, man. Mm-hmm. So watching how excited they were last year was fun.
It was
great. Seeing how the Detroit fans were reacting, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if you look, you know, you pose this question to both fan bases with Detroit and Green Bay. Is it Super Bowl or bust, or is it to make it to the NFC Championship, or win a couple playoff games, or win a division? I mean, to be a successful season, where do you look? I mean, obviously those two teams are playoff teams, so you got to take one or the other. As a Packer fan, I think they need to make it to at least the NFC Championship this year to be a successful season. They don't have to win the division. They just need to make it to, you know, maybe to the NFC Championship to be successful. And who knows? It could end up being a NFC North Championship. In the NFC Championship.
I agree with that. I will say, I also think that there's, certainly, and this is going to be spread out, but I think that there's a portion of the fan base that's Super Bowl or bust. It would have been different had Jordan Love signed the extension, and it's your regular old extension. The fact that it's the biggest contract in football, and that's as of 5/14 on August 5th, 2024. This could change by 5/20.
Right.
You know, but as of right now, that big deal, there's that portion of every fan base, not just Packer fan base, the football fan base, that is the fan that just sees headlines. That just sees certain things like that and pays enough attention to the game to be able to get upset by the game. Not necessarily be excited or happy or anything like that, but to be upset about this or that or what have you. Football is a breeding ground of this not as much as soccer, but almost as much as soccer. So you got that part of the fan base, and that part of the fan base is certainly screaming Super Bowl. And I think management is looking at it that way. They didn't sign this deal. Of all the organizations, we were just talking about the Brewers and their situation and not being able to get above things or get above, you know, the ownership not doing certain stuff and everything. If I'm a Green Bay fan, yeah, I would love them to be able to go out of their way and try to get one of these receivers in or pick up a big name free agent or anything. In our lifetimes, I don't know what more you can ask for management in many ways. It's easy to poke holes at, well, they should have gotten Favre more help. They should have gotten Rodgers more help. They should have done this. They should have done that. Did you not hear of any of the other conversations any Packer fan or any football fan has had for the last 30, 40 years about trying to survive in this industry and all of that? I don't know how you can complain, especially when you look at the rest of the North. There's nobody. There's only one or two teams in the NFC, let alone no teams in the North, that can boast what the fan base can hear, what the GMs or the management can there and everything.
Well, right. And like I said, I don't know if you can really say, I mean, the window is starting now. I mean, with everything that you know, we have loved for 5 years. And that contract, really, you know, if you break it down and look at it, it's not that bad of a contract. Yes, it's the highest paid quarterback, but they front loaded it here at the beginning, and they can get out of it in 3 years if he's a bust.
Yeah, none of it's guaranteed. Yeah, none of it. Not, at least outside of the guaranteed money, which is the highest any quarterback's ever had. But that's done. That's you've got that already off the books. That's already taken care of. You've literally already paid that money to that man. So when you look at, and especially when you look at the fact that, again, it's 5/17. Any moment now, there's going to be a bigger contract out there handed out. And a year from now, even a year from now, you could be looking at this much like Kansas City does with the Mahomes contract. And wow, we got a steal.
I was going to say, did we underpay him? Yeah, right.
I mean, with all that in consideration, not for nothing. And look, you know, Favre and Rodgers started out this way too, but this seems like a good kid. Seems like the kind of person that you would want to invest in, not only as a organization, but as a city in Green Bay and what he does in that area and in that community, what he represents. To be blunt, what he represents in that too. You haven't had that really. You've had a little bit of it with Reggie, but you really haven't had that much outside of that.
Yeah.
He at that position, at the most important position in sports, to be him, to look like him, all those things, it matters. And boy, is he got an opportunity. He's got a runway in front of him. He's got every opportunity to succeed with what they're doing over there. I can't believe how many talking heads have not made more of the Josh Jacobs signing. That's gigantic. You can do a lot with receivers, But I will take a strong running back that I can lean on, especially in that offense, over a diva receiver any day of the week. Give me my two third-year receivers that are still trying to prove something, still out there working their tails off, and give me a running back that is a thoroughbred, that has been proven, hey, coach, I got 200, 280 carries this season for you. Right, go ahead and just give me the rock. Give me the rock. Josh Jacobs is one of those top running backs, I think, in his prime to be able to do that behind that offensive line. I'm sorry, Aaron Jones, you were great. Thank you for your time. Enjoy Minnesota. They got some great fishing up there. But you got to be excited about Josh Jacobs.
Well, yeah, I'm excited for it, too. And with our offensive line, I think once they get all healthy, I mean, that's by far going to be probably one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. I mean, he's going to, I mean, and, you know, the funny thing is, he's 3-4 years in Los Angeles, he never caught a passing touchdown.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. They just didn't use him right, like a lot of these guys, no. I think. I can't wait to see LaFleur, what he'll do with him. I imagine that was part of the selling point of getting him in Green Bay, was LaFleur and him talking like, look, man, look at what I was doing with Derrick Henry. Look at what I can do with you and stuff like that. I think that's going to be exciting. I will say, like, as excited and silly as some Bear fans are being right now and everything, one of the biggest excited and silly Bear fans I've known my whole life, my father, he's not even paying attention. Like, he is all locked in on Baltimore and what's going on with that team and having Derrick Henry in that offense. And he's so excited to see what that looks like and everything. There's a lot of really cool storylines going into the season, and we haven't even talked about the kickoffs yet.
No, we haven't. You know what? Baltimore may be the first team that will score every single time they're in the red zone.
Yeah. If not that, I'll say this. Even if this isn't, I don't think this is a stretch. Every drive, at least getting one first down.
Yeah, like, could be. Like, can you imagine that? Wow.
All Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson have to do is lay down, and they will get a couple yards. They just go forward, and you will get a couple of yards. They're at least going to get a first down on every drive.
Right, right.
That's a team where you look at it and like, well, injuries. That's what stops them, injuries. I don't see much else that's going to defeat a team like that on the offensive side. And you look at their defense, it's pretty solid, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Some excitement, and we're finally here. Our long drought of missing football is finally here.
What are you talking about? Have you not been paying attention to the Canadian Football League, James? Come on, you could have been doing that.
Dang it, that's what I was going to do this year. I wrote that down. I got to make another note.
No respect.
Kev, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
You too, man. Phone lines are open, 715-424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. Did you have a note on the Brewer talk that we were having before?
I was actually, yeah, and that's cool that Kim wanted to talk about the Packers. But the thing I was going to add to it was, man, I have to disagree because the way the playoffs are in baseball right now, man, look at what, I mean, the Diamondbacks last year, great example, man. You get into the playoffs, and anything can literally happen. Anything can happen. When's the last time the best team in baseball, meaning that had the best record, won the World Series?
Yeah.
I can't even think off the top of my head when that happened.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, yeah, it's getting in, and then, you know, and then it's going to be a combination of, you know, how good your starters are, how good your bullpen is, and if you can score just enough runs to make, you know, more than the other guy. Basically is what it is.
This is where I've been leaning, especially when I've been talking to my little brother about it and everything. Because, Nick, just get to the dance. You can say that maybe more than in hockey. Hockey, you can definitely say it in. But maybe more than hockey and baseball, maybe more than any other sport we've seen, especially in the last 5-6 seasons, since they've really opened it up. Mm-hmm. Not only is, I think, the final week of the season more exciting than it's ever been. That's not fair to say. That's not fair to say. I apologize for that to old school baseball fans.
Yeah, right.
Because when it just, pennant or nothing, that was, I'm sorry. There is something really cool to me about that.
That's true.
And I understand why baseball opened it up more and it's made it very exciting and everything. But my goodness, it's wild to look back at some of the like last plays that it came down to a whole 140 or whatever game season and stuff. And it comes down to this final game and they just happen to be playing each other and all that and everything. That is pretty exciting. That is pretty sports drama 101. You got to love it. But we are where we are. And it is really opened up more. And with that being said, now, even if it did take winning a pennant, well, guess what? Milwaukee's been in the first place for almost 2 years now.
Right.
So even that argument kind of goes to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, get into the dance. I am 100% with you on this. My where I've been coming from on it in the last week or so was just that I had not realized how, I don't, for lack of a very lack of a better word, damaged Brewer fans can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe I need to be looking into the mirror here on this as a White Sox fan. Maybe.
Right.
But I won't. I would never have that. I could never relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it. Mm-hmm. No matter what, this is part of the reason why I can go numb. This is part of the reason why when the White Sox are literally not just the worst team in baseball, but the worst, one of the worst teams of all time, I can stomach it because, well, as a sports fan, at least I got to see a World Series, and I know people that haven't.
Right, right. And then that's something that I can say the same thing because of the Twins winning when I was a kid. You know, 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 87 and 91. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I saw a guy at the Rafters game wearing a shirt that just said 1987 and 1991 on it.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, that's oh, yeah.
That's a kind of a cool shirt, yeah.
So I want to just – to give the Brewers fans a little more hope on this, you know – this is how you do it with a small market team. Okay. This is how you do it. The Twins have been doing it for years. You know, you got to build up your farm system every now and then. You got to be smart with your trades and you always got to, and this is the part that bugs me sometimes too. You got to just kind of keep one eye on the future. You can't just go all in like the Yankees do sometimes or the Dodgers. You can't do that every single year. They can because they can afford it. They can do that kind of thing. Also, you got to remember, this is something that we harp on the show kind of a lot. It all comes down to ownership. They make the final decisions. You can blame GMs and managers as much as you want. It all comes down to ownership.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. That's where the buck stops. It's right there.
And this is why I would say, is since I knew who the owners were of the teams that I root for, mm-hmm. I've always looked at them. And the Wirtz's in you know the Blackhawks history and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Obviously Reinsdorf with the Bulls and the White Sox. The Cubs have changed management a bit.
Yeah, different owners. Yep.
Their current owners. You can't really argue with what they've done.
Not really.
I'm not even talking about the World Series. I mean mm-hmm. Wrigleyville. Some of the things that they have done there. Whether you like the Cubs or not, right. You better be looking at them as that seems smart. Maybe we want to do that, or maybe we should try to do something like this. Any team should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the McCaskies, which is a swear word in my house. Other than Virginia, who we love. We love you, Virginia.
That's just, she's got the connection to the past and the old school.
She's a Hallis.
She's a Hallis. Yeah,
she's a Hallis. A McCaskey by marriage. You know,
even in the Twins, who've had actually, I think, one of the longest tenured owners, the Pollad family, who's owned it since 1982, first by Carl and now his family does. Jim, I think, is the oldest who kind of runs the ownership side of it. I mean, they have thrived in having a team, you know, considered a smaller market. One time was considered prime for contraction. You know, we're going to get one of the teams that we're going to get rid of completely, just get them out of the league.
Yeah.
And there's times when they drive me crazy, too, especially now with the mess of the cable TV thing. And now they say, oh, we're not getting that money. Now we got to come. We got to reel it in a little bit, mm-hmm. which is why the Twins did nothing at the trade deadline. Yeah. They got like one reliever and that was it. And that's all because of that. So, yeah, there's frustration at sometimes. But if you build up that farm system, you have smart guys at the top. Like I think the Twins do, I think the Brewers in general have in the past. We'll see it. You know, they haven't been there long enough now to see how they're going to do in the future for the Brewers. But as long as you have guys like that, I think you're going to do all right.
Brewers also have some new, not new ownership necessarily, but some new people in ownership there with mm-hmm. Haslam and some of that.
Right, right.
I
can't remember the name, but yeah.
Maybe that helped because where I was going with it was certainly, you know, the change in ownership one
right.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And that being something to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
Not exactly. that that's much.
Yeah.
but, you know, there's that to look at too. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you just in general. I don't think you have to scrape the barrel to find hope as not just a Brewer fan, but if you are a fan of a team in that market, in a market similar to mm-hmm. that. And granted, you know, we're saying this is outsiders,
but
that's part of the point here. Mm-hmm. If we see this, if we're feeling this way, have some hope out there. I think
I got to be a little bit stern with our Packer fan and all, like, any Wisconsin sports fans, people out there. Man, do you remember what it was like in the 80s?
Ooh.
In the late 70s and the 80s in the state of Wisconsin? The Brewers, I mean, they had the World Series that they were in 82, but that was about it. The Packers were thinking of moving to Milwaukee, everybody. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How lucky have they been since the 90s, man?
Yeah.
I'm telling you should be very happy and thankful where you guys are at right now.
And I will say, too, I don't think there is any danger of this happening, but learn from New England fans. Learn from that Boston area and how annoying it can be when you think you're entitled to win.
I don't think
that'll ever happen out here.
I hope not.
Midwest mentality, I don't think would let it happen. But, man, again, not saying this to Wisconsin fans. I mean to the whole sports fandom, like
in
all
general.
Sports. Yes. Because no fan base for me went quicker from as a kid. Although those Red Sox fans are all right.
Yeah,
you know they really want it and everything too. Oh God, a Red Sox fan. Oh God, and I work with one. Yeah. I'm not here, but in my teaching and everything, I work with one.
Hey, man, you can deal with the Yankee fans. Okay, they're going to be who they are. When the Yankees are up, they're going to be like, yeah. We should be here because we're the Yankees, okay? And when their team stinks, they're going to be the ones yelling loudest at their team why? What's wrong with you guys? What are you doing? Yeah. I can accept Yankee fans. They never complain to other people. They complain among themselves and to their ownership and stuff. But Boston fans and St. Louis Cardinal fans, go away. You are not just. I hate that.
Oh, don't get me on.
We're
Cardinal
the best fans in baseball. No, you're not. No, you're not.
That's the one that gets me. I can handle a Cardinal fan on almost anything, but the fact that you get to decide the rules of baseball and that your fan base is the best fan base.
Yeah, they call themselves that. Get out of here.
Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. Call up 715-424-2600.
How's your football team doing, huh, St. Louis? Huh?
We'll be right back. I want to send a big thank you to our friends at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. A big thank you to them. Seth and James here with you, and the phone lines are open, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. We kind of have two questions out there right now that were brought to us from our listeners, and shout out to Kev for this, whether he intended it or not.
No, we got them anyway.
I'm turning them into questions.
Yeah.
Do you think in your lifetime, no matter who you are, how old you are, that you'll see the Brewers win a World Series, the Milwaukee Brewers see them win a World Series, and what is a successful season for Green Bay Packer fans? Is it NFC Championship? Is it Super Bowl? Is it a playoff appearance? You tell me. 424-2600. I'd love to hear from you guys about those, especially at this point in the season. I think it's kind of fun as we're getting ready for all of these things. And in baseball, kind of gearing up for the last leg of the season.
Yes.
Milwaukee is in first place in the NL Central.
Yep.
Five and a half up on St. Louis.
It seems like every day it's five games up. I don't know.
Doesn't seem to change.
At
no
all.
Matter who wins or loses.
Yeah.
I did have some stats of the show that I wanted to get to. And I couldn't pick just one, so I'm going all over the gamut here for one. The other night, the Dodgers beat the A's 10-0. Nothing shocking there. But what's kind of cool that happened in it is Shohei Ohtani went 30 for 30. And that's just still special to me as an 80s kid, as a 90s kid.
Yep.
Seeing people go 20-20, 30-30, 40-40 still means something.
I agree.
And it means something a little bit extra here because he's the first DH to do it.
Wow.
And
I did not know that.
That was pretty remarkable to me. This is just the fourth time a Dodgers player has reached the 30-30 club too.
Wow.
Which is another amazing stat,
Only
thought.
Only four of them. Rump.
Eric Davis was the fastest to do it back in 87, and a shout-out to Eric Davis.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I just see him as a Red. I didn't even think about it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And I remember, because it was like in the early 90s when he and Daryl Strawberry both ended up on the Dodgers. They were friends at school. They were like grade school friends, and they ended up playing together with the Dodgers.
Forgot all about that.
Yes.
Had almost honestly forgotten about Eric Davis, and I feel ashamed of that because Eric Davis was awesome.
Without the injuries, man.
Yeah.
He was one of the – I mean – He not only had all the talent, he was a five-tool player before there was such a thing as they called five-tool players. He could do everything. Do you remember in the 1990 playoffs, the man played with a lacerated kidney?
That's right, yeah.
He continued to play. People got on him for not being tough. No way, man. He was tough. He had injuries he couldn't play with. That was the problem.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he was great. Oh, he was. He could have been one of those all-time greats. Unfortunately,
he had a really cool baseball card too.
Yes,
this card was awesome. And did anybody see this? And there is not much to talk about when it comes to the California Anaheim Angels of Santa Cruz. Rookie flamethrower Ben Joyce was one strike away from recording his first career save, but there was a problem. He couldn't hear what catcher Logan O'Hope wanted him to throw via the pitch com device.
Yep.
So Hope jogged out to the mound, told Joyce he wanted him to go with his four-seam fastball against veteran slugger J.D. Martinez. It was an 0-2 count, so Joyce reared back and fired a 104.7-mile-per-hour heater. Once again, a 104.7-mile-an-hour heater that struck out Martinez and preserved the win over the Mets. Did anybody know that J.D. Martinez was with the Mets? Did anybody know that?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I don't know why I said the Angels here. I was at...
No.
It was
the Angels. You were correct.
It was the Angels.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was the Angels. It's the fastest strikeout pitch since the pitch tracking began back in 08.
Yep.
So not a huge time frame, but still pretty impressive time
frame. That rounds up to 105.
That's insane. That is insane. And
that's crazy.
And this is not this is something else that I don't know if is lost on people or not. It's not as if we're seeing these things and we'll never see that again. Like this is just the beginning. Like, we're only going to see more of this. Now, I'm not saying that every pitcher that comes out to the mound is going to be doing this.
No.
But going forward, with how much these teams value strikeouts and value fastballs, mm-hmm. and having moments like this in baseball, mm-hmm. where even if your team doesn't win, you get noticed by SportsCenter and all this stuff because of the flamethrower and everything.
Right.
We're going to only see more of this, yep. and more kids trying to do this.
Maximum effort on every pitch, and which is kind of why we're at where we are with baseball right now.
Yeah.
With bullpens, with nothing but flamethrowers in the bullpen, with, you know, five inning starts from starting pitchers, which I understand why they're doing all these things, but I'm still with most people. I don't want to see games like that.
No.
I want to see pitchers go deep. How cool is it when we get to see guys do that? And now it's a big deal. Hey, he's going to throw a complete game. Wow, that's amazing. He's going to throw all nine innings, but it's because his pitch count is below 100. That's why they let him do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look at Blake Snell. He just threw a no-hitter. The first time he's ever pitched into the ninth inning in his career.
He's never pitched past the eighth.
Yes.
I can't get over that.
In his career.
Two Cy Youngs. Yes. And one of them not even having to do the Bob Gibson. Not even having to go in the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, just incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the game has shifted and changed from that. And we've talked about this a lot. And we're not going to stop talking about it until it does get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my roundabout way to get back to, hey, this isn't the way to do this.
Right.
This is going to blow out arms left and right.
Injuries. It's going to be... You know, talk to Justin Verlander. He's got a great look at this because how things have changed since he started. Since he started, when he came up in the league and what he was, you know, taught to do as a starting pitcher to what it is now. It is so different. So different.
He is a perfect person to talk to, not only because of growing up in the eras, like you said, mm-hmm. there and everything, but coming back from the injuries he did.
Yep.
And understanding that better than most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hate to see where it's going. I hate to see the sport where it is, but I did like seeing that 104-mile-an-hour fastball. I will not lie about that. I thought that was pretty
cool. It's
cool
to see. Absolutely. It's not something it's like what? Did I just see that? What? Mm-hmm. What? Kind of thing. But at the same time, I don't want it to happen all the time. That's one of those things that it's like, no, you don't need guys, like five guys in your team that throw over 100 miles an hour. That's, to me, that's not good baseball. That's not what people pay to see. So
wanted to, before we wrap up today in our final segment, we'll get to some Rafters talk. I did want to wrap up giving a shout out to Jesse Owens as well. Speaking of the Olympics, touching that on that just for a moment, and we've kind of, you know, your Olympic coverage is set. You know, you're not looking for what Seth and I have, on track and field or anything like that necessarily, but I do think it's been very exciting, and I will talk Olympics with you all day if you guys want to. But I wanted to go a different angle on this because I've heard some people talking about how this sport shouldn't be in the Olympics and that sport shouldn't be in the Olympics and those sorts of things. And you know, the Olympics started out with five basic sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously has grown across that. And this year, athletes are competing across 32 sports in 329 events. So it has grown from the 1896 games mm-hmm. to this.
The first modern ones, yep.
And that is pretty unique and pretty cool. Like, mm-hmm. not only that it's still happening, but that you have that happening. And you have a governing body that is smart enough, I think, to realize that you can't just keep trotting out the same five sports.
Right.
It's quite interesting. But of aquatics, athletics, cycling, fencing, and gymnastics, which were the original ones, they have appeared in each of the 30 iterations of the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
Others, obviously, such have gone away, like croquet and karate. There's some that have made comebacks,
mm-hmm.
like archery and golf and rugby and mm-hmm. some of those things.
Yep, yep.
So we can see that a sport can go away and come back.
That's right.
So what ones would you like to see come back? And what would you get rid of? I'm asking the audience that. I'd love to hear from you guys on this one. I will throw out there tug of war. I think it's a fun one. I think the only thing that you would really would make it even better and really sell audiences on and countries on is if you could bring anybody you want.
From the Olympic team, right.
Right, right. From the Olympic team, perfectly said. Thank you, Seth. Because I'm noticing something in 3-on-3 basketball. The Olympics thought for sure that this was going to be easy sell, and people were going to love this. And the problem was, is they had certain requirements for it.
Mm.
So if we wanted to be on 3-on-3 basketball, we had to play in the league for the year or two or whatever. And obviously, NBA players or anybody who hasn't even sniff of the NBA is not going to be spending any time on that.
No, there's no financial reason to do that, right?
So you're seeing other countries do better at this than us and everything. When I am not making light of the sport of basketball, it takes a lot more skill and a lot more planning and play calling than people realize, including myself. But I feel pretty confident, and we put three of our bench's best out there. We'd be doing better than we are right now.
Right.
And I think of this with a tug of war. Where I like not only the idea of, hey, let's bring on our strongmen, let's bring on our shot putters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what's Shaq doing? You know? What's Shaq doing?
We need an anchor is what we need, you know.
Let's,
so
let's bring on some people from WWE. Let's bring on some of those. Let's bring
they'd
on
all some. They'd all be kicked out for steroids. Yeah, right, but right. I mean, those guys would be bad.
I think that could really, it's an easy sport to sell.
Yes.
It isn't very difficult to explain to somebody, hey, what are the rules of tug of war? Well, do you got a second? Because I mean, that we're done.
Oh, just think about how you could do this, though. You'd have to have a rules. You'd have to have a total number of weight.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you couldn't just all get all the shot putters or the, you know, all the the weightlifters.
Yeah.
You'd have to, you know, mix it up a little bit kind of thing, you know? So well, that'd be cool.
I like that part. I like that part of it and everything. And I also want to take into consideration that the Olympic body doesn't just do this on a whim.
No.
They put years and years of data. They
test it every year. Yeah, every year they do testing on these things to see if people would be interested, if there's enough people in the world that can do it at a high level kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't like the sports fan that just sits there and always says, I can do a better job and that kind of thing. But I do think that it's one of those interesting questions.
Absolutely.
About, hey, you're in that seat, you're on that board, what are you pushing for? What are you looking to see added to the Olympics and going mm-hmm. forward? 424-2600, phone number to call up and join the conversation.
Bring back baseball.
That's all this conversation was gearing up towards was that. I just wanted to give you a runway to be able to say
come on,
that.
Man.
The Hall of Fame game was over the weekend, and obviously last week. And
yep.
As Kevin mentioned, the Packers had their family night. To me, those are some of the signs of we're right there to
football
season. We're so close. It might as well be
fantasy draft.
Yes, a lot of
then it means it's ready to go, right?
But with the Hall of Fame, one of the things that I enjoy is watching some of the speeches. I don't always get a chance to catch all of them, but I do mm-hmm. enjoy them. And I really enjoyed Steve McMichael's. It was very moving to me. I loved what Devin Hester did up there. I thought he did a great job. Devin Hester may have the coolest and maybe the best-looking NFL bust I've ever seen.
Cool.
They've gotten way better at those
things. Oh, yes, they have.
They have really
updated
them. If
you look at some of the old ones in the Hall of Fame area, they're like, what?
It's harsh.
He didn't look like that.
That's harsh. But one of the things that I was excited about was, one, the idea of what teams have the most players in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh, yes.
That's always an interesting one to me. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that more on Wednesday. We'll save that. That's very a tease. Cool, we already got cool. our stats of the show in. but what I came across from, and a shout out to Bill Barnwell at ESPN, staff writer over there, does a great job, of looking at the predicting the next class of Hall of Fame.
Mm.
And then it has a list of the people that are up for the 2025 class.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And who we think should get in and who shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a fun conversation that I would love to have. And it's one of those things that we're looking at a really elite class of athletes going in for this next class. So that's one I'm up for talking about if anybody
oh, yeah.
wants to. I think that would be quite an interesting one. And I will, again, recommend to people.
Justice for Eric Metcalf. Justice Thank for you. Eric Metcalf.
Thank you.
Yes. He needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Especially if it looks like it's going to go the way it is with returning and the exactly. return game being so different.
We're never going to see, I think, like Devin Hester. Would he even be Devin Hester in this game with the rules they are now? I don't know. Maybe. But it would be a lot harder.
He definitely wouldn't be the return man.
That's,
he
yeah,
is. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
That would have been very different. Yes. Yeah.
So call up, join the conversation. We'd like to talk about that one, and I'll keep that conversation in the back pocket anytime you want to talk about it, everybody. I certainly wanted to get to not only – obviously, the kickoff in the NFL is quite interesting, the way that they're doing that. Any early feedback on that one? We've only seen 8 plays of it yet. So literally, there's a right, lot yeah. to be said.
Yeah.
What I'm excited about is what happens when these special teams mad scientists, not Dave Toe, but guys like him or Mouse mm-hmm. Davis, yep. some of these – guys. These are usually in the football spectrum, the mad scientists
the crazies,
of the
sport. Right? Yeah.
When they get a hold of this and they start seeing holes in this, I'm very excited about what that might mean. That,
yes.
that could be interesting. One thing that I did want to know before we go to our final timeout, the NFL is testing Hawkeyes, the Hawkeye camera thing, for line to gain in some preseason games. So they've essentially gotten rid of the chain gang.
Oh,
in the preseason games here.
Oh, wow!
And they're looking to get away with away from this completely and just have computers do it and all that. And I don't know that anybody's going to necessarily get on a hill to die on this. No, they have to keep the chain gang, but it is quite interesting to me.
Yeah,
and it does bring back a lot of like. The drama that football doesn't have a ton of drama. Now, unfortunately, some drama they've created out of almost a sickness, kind of thing that they have with penalties. I can't be the only person that every time a big play happens, the first thing I do is look for a flag.
Right.
But the idea of did they get it? It's 4th and inches. Did they get it? We got to wait for the chains. We got to wait for the chains to come out there. And instead of a ref just going to a computer screen and saying, they got it. Like,
yeah.
2 seconds mm-hmm. later, moving on. Now, that speeds the game up, and that's progress. And that, I'm not talking down progress, but the idea of getting rid of just a little bit more of the drama in the game does make me a little sad.
Right.
It does make me I'm going to miss that if that it does look like that's the direction they're going.
Right. I have no problem with getting, these new things in there. Like in baseball, they're talking about, the automatic balls and strikes and maybe the challenge system, that kind of thing. I'm cool with, finding ways to make it more accurate. That's cool. I'm for that. What I'm not for is taking more humans out of it. I guess for me, I always refer to baseball, you can't take the umps off the field. You got to have the umps there. Okay, for lots of reasons that we don't have to go into right now. You have to have officials on the playing field. You got to have it.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to be, and I know there's there's a lot of NBA fans on there like, oh, really? Do you? But the state of officiating the NBA. But you got to have that human element there. You got to have it. You do. And that's something where I'm in piggybacking off your drama thing, because I agree. That can be very dramatic, ooh, how close are they kind of thing. There would be something missing there, I really think.
Yeah.
It's not going to destroy the game. It's not going to make it unwatchable. But there's something that I would definitely miss without having the chain gang there.
And not for nothing, this is how empires fall. They don't. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
It doesn't happen from just one thing. One you can point to. Oh, this one thing, and this is why Rome fell, or mm-hmm. something. It's multiple things and tinkering with things, and sometimes, you know, alienating your core fan base more and more and more mm-hmm. to where they just don't care.
Right.
And that's the most dangerous thing for any organization or anybody in the sports world is the fan that doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for the White Sox to be bad. It's another thing that the fan base doesn't care
anymore, right?
The people talking about this are people looking for things in the middle of summer to talk about.
Right.
I don't hear the fan base talking about it.
Not
I don't
really.
Hear the fan base talking about all about them. They're talking baseball, maybe.
Yeah.
They're talking this or that about baseball, but they've completely ignored the Southsiders, and that is the most dangerous thing you can have if you own that team.
Right. Unless you have an ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But we don't need to get into that right now.
I don't want to even think about that, man. Now all of a sudden my feelings got kicked in. Like, it's one thing for them to be bad. It's another for them to not exist.
Pulling an old John Fisher is what I call it. Yeah.
He better do it in the middle of the night.
He better.
Like, this ain't, look, whoa. Hey, Jerry, like, if you haven't learned this already, let me give you a heads up on this. This is not Baltimore.
No.
You are not going to be able to get away with this. This is Chicago. We're up all night.
Not even Oakland.
We're going to see you trying to get out, sneak out of town, and you ain't going to make
Someone
it.
Someone will see it.
You ain't going to make it. You ain't making it to the Dan Ryan. You ain't going to make it, man. Tell you right now, we'll be back more playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Got a little under five left.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to the top of the hour. Looking forward to getting to some Rafter baseball in a little bit.
Yep.
More on Rafters in just a second. Just two quick notes for you before that.
Okay.
I did want to mark the occasion of, it was just a couple of days ago that James Jesse Owens was an American track and field athlete. He gained international fame at the Summer Olympics in Berlin, Germany on August 3rd in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
So the anniversary of that was just a couple of days ago.
Right.
On that day, he won the first of four gold medals in the following categories, the 100 meter, 200 meter, the long jump, and the 4x100 meter relay.
Okay.
Owens was the most successful athlete at those Olympic Games, and obviously as a black man doing this in front of Hitler, in front of Hitler's face. No matter how cowardly or methed up he was at the time, still had to acknowledge this and everything. Obviously, a huge moment, not only in Olympic history, in sports history, but in world history for mm-hmm. what would happen shortly after that.
Right.
Incredibly noteworthy. I just wanted to mark that day, make sure that mm-hmm. that's known, and keep that out there. And also remind everybody that for every time your team wins a championship on the home ice
right.
or the home the opposing player's team or something, how cool that feels, think of that. Think of what that must feel
yeah,
like.
Right.
There will never be anybody that can top that. You can't, like, well, we beat them in their park. Yeah, that's nice.
Yep.
Jesse Owens did this in Berlin as a black man in the 30s
right.
in front of Hitler.
Right.
Like, enough said.
I do, you know, and I knew you were going to talk about this, and there's no question about the how heroic that effort was and everything. I do think we have to mention, though, we have to make sure we get it out there. The host at the time, you were supposed to, the leader was supposed to acknowledge the people.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Olympic team decided so they would not embarrass Hitler
mm-hmm.
to not have Jesse go up to shake his hand.
Yep.
Which just proves where our country was
right.
at the time. The only reason that Jesse Owens was there is because he was so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
They had to put him on there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if they had their druthers, he wouldn't have been.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That makes it, and to me, that makes it doubly heroic yes. what he did.
Yes.
Because he had to not only fight against his own team and his own people, but do it against a very hate-filled regime in Germany at the time.
They asked Jesse about this, about not shaking Hitler's hand, and yeah. he said, I didn't even get invited to the White House, so it wasn't that surprising.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. We have to keep that in mind, too.
But
it takes nothing away from what he did, yeah. or yeah, to me, it actually adds to it mm-hmm. because of how amazing the man was.
Your Aqua Skiers, the 2024 Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Championship just, of course, wrapped up a couple weeks ago. For those that did not hear, our Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers came in third place. Shout out to them. Nicely done. And the Shermalot Ski Team came in fifth. Congratulations to them. Rafter Baseball coming up in just a little bit, everybody. Just rewinding for a second to last night's game, I think they are still scoring runs. 16-8 win over the Rockers.
I wish they'd save some of those runs, man.
Rafters still just in third place, can't get above.
Playing 500 recently, so yeah.
But one thing we know for sure, we got a handful of games left. We can make take advantage and enjoy them.
Yes, we can.
Not only do we got some home games like tonight at 6:20 hosting Minnesota, tomorrow at 6:20 hosting Minnesota, Wednesday hosting Fond du Lac. Yeah,
weather permitting tonight.
Three games in a row here. Yes, weather permitting.
Let's hope it holds off.
But we're also going to be doing some celebrating. We're going to be celebrating our community, celebrating our local heroes. Mm-hmm. Got some really, really cool events going on, and it starts tonight. Military Monday, honoring our retired and active duty military with free entrance to the game and a free dog. Free hot dog.
And special, make sure you specify.
Yeah, I guess I should. They had the Bark at the Park night.
Yeah, that's true.
We got some leftovers. No. Special military jerseys are going up for auction. They are already up there for auction if you want to try to bid on one. And tomorrow night, an incredibly special night, National Night Out, honoring our local law enforcement. Going to have not only ours here, but Stevens Point's local and some other emergency services.
Very cool.
Fans are going to be treated to a special police officer Roscoe bobblehead. Want one of those. And free entrance to the game if you attend National Night Out from 3 to 6.
All right.
That's going to be pretty cool, too.
Yep.
And, of course, also going to be celebrating on August 7th, our Heroes in Education. Teachers get into the game free by showing their badge. And they're going to honor the Skyward Unsung Hero of the Year, Janine Clemen from Lincoln High School, the art teacher over there.
Awesome.
Have a Roscoe bobblehead for there. All kinds of specials with these games.
Lots of giveaways.
We only get these guys for a handful of months a year. Let's enjoy them. Let's let them know how much we appreciate them being in the area, how much we love this team.
We do.
Let's show them what home field advantage is, everybody.
Yes, let's do it.
Great show today, Seth. Thanks
thank you
so much. Big thank you to our listeners out there for calling up and joining the conversation. Spread the word about the show, everybody. We want more and more people listening and tuning in.
Yeah, you got to be tired of hearing us.
I mean, got to be by then. Enjoy your night, everybody. We'll talk to you on Wednesday here with more Playmakers.